It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. Today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life."
My great awakening. What happened to the power of God, like on Azusa Street? A great awakening. And wonders are God's glory on display. A great awakening. We're lost inside the dark. Light our way. Help us to know who you are today. Then nothing stands between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us.
He responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now. Revival's coming now. Yes, it is, and it's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now, yeah! Let nothing stand between us. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. We need to see a change.
Now, here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Thank you very much, Tom Dooley, and good Wednesday, everybody. Good to have you listening here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, around the clock, around the world. This time or any time, we are praying together, and we are a force in the earth as we pray together today. So welcome to BPN. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast. And for the next hour, we believe that we are going to make a difference as we pray today for your family, this nation, and the nations of the world. So it's going to be a wonderful day. We have a young man that is going to talk to us about forgiveness today. I know that forgiveness is a very difficult situation, but a man that witnessed his family being torn apart by the murder of his mother and his sister, and the stabbing of his father, family being torn apart, and yet this man is willing to walk in forgiveness. So it's going to be a wonderful day today. Father, we pray your will, plan, and purpose be here on to be done here today on this Wednesday, the third or fourth day of March, whichever day it is. We just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that your will, plan, and purpose be done here on this Wednesday on BPN Radio. A delight to have you, Father God, with us today, because you promised not to leave us or forsake us, but to hold our right hand. You said, Lord, that your right hand holds our right hand. And it's not that we're just walking together. That means if you have our right hand with your right hand, that you're always pulling us up into higher heights, taking us places we've never been, doing things we've never done, saying things we've never said, meeting people we've never met, operating gifts that we've never operated in. And Father God, today, we just pray your will, plan, and purpose be done in our lives, our families, our city, our church, our nation. We want to welcome churches and individuals and cities all across the land that are praying with us today here on this fourth day of March. I'm glad I got that straight. March the 4th. Want to welcome churches and cities. We have some new churches that are joining us. We want to welcome Broadmoor Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Yorktown Vineyard Church in Yorktown Heights, New York, and Grace Family Church in Power Site, Missouri, as well as Destiny People Worship Center in McClinney, Florida, Life Church in Wichita, Kansas, and Union Church of God in Ennore, South Carolina. Welcome these new churches that are praying with us today. And we want to share our condolences with the family of John Paul Jackson, a prophet of God, his family. And I met John Paul Jackson over 30 years ago. And the first time I saw him, I said, that guy looks like a movie star. And he was just getting started in his ministry. And now he has affected so many, many people with his prophetic ministry. So we share our condolences and our prayers with the family of Prophet John Paul Jackson, who has gone to be with the Lord. And we just know that that we have a hope that makes not ashamed. And so we're delighted to have you being a part. We're going to pray together. I would like to remind you that the Affecting Destiny Conference with my longtime friend since 1987, Bishop Tony Miller, starts at the Gate Church in Oklahoma City tonight. It's tonight, tomorrow, and Friday. AffectingDestiny.com is where you can get all the information. And if you are a minister, a Christian leader, you definitely want to consider that last-minute invitation. AffectingDestiny.com, and that's in Oklahoma City at the Gate Church starting tonight. Also want to invite you to our Prayer Leaders Conference here in Austin, which I will be hosting. That will be April the 9th, 10th, and 11th, Thursday evening through Saturday noon at Compass Church in Austin, Texas. We have room for 100 people, so we invite you to come. Well, today is a wonderful day. It's a day that God has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray concerning your assignments in life and knowing when one season starts and another season finishes. So, and then God will, if you're in a transition season, that God will help you there. It is very, very important to know how God is leading you and guiding you and directing you, and knowing that one word from God can change your life forever. And I remember when Daystar Television first began that I prayed for Marcus Lamb, and I said, there come a day that you'll have a major television station in every major city. And years later, that prophetic word has come to pass. And I remember that that God has blessed that television network. I want to pray with you today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray for every person that is listening to BPN Radio today. I pray in Jesus' name that your will, plan, and purpose be done in their lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will know the times and seasons of our lives. We will know when one season begins and another season ends. And we will, during that season, we will find a rhythm about that ministry. And we will concentrate on that ministry, and we will not be distracted, but we will stay on course, regardless of the adversities or difficulties or challenges. We will stay on course. And when that season ends, then we will know the season is ended, and there will be a transition period as we begin another season, Lord. So I pray for those to know when to start and when to finish. And Lord, I pray that people will understand and know their God assignments. And one of the things that we can look at is examples of men that understood their times and seasons. You take, for example, Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts started out pastoring a church. Then he, in Enid, Oklahoma, and I ministered in that church, by the way. And then he realized there was another season, and that season included tent ministry. And so he had some of the largest healing crusades that America has ever known under the big tents, Oral Roberts. And then that season ended, and he began a season of starting a television ministry. And then that season concluded with the starting of a university, Oral Roberts University. And then he understood when it came time that he was to step aside from leading that university, moving to California, and accepting younger ministers into his home to minister to them, and of course sowing seed and doing a number of other things, writing his books. So Oral Roberts was a man that understood seasons. I can think about evangelist James Robertson. He started out being ministering to youth in the Southern Baptist conventions and other places, and having great crusades. But now he's spending his time doing television and reaching out to feeding children and ministering to nations of the world, but primarily doing his television programs. I'm saying today that there are different seasons of our lives that we must understand, that we cannot scramble and try to find some place here and there. But we must understand that we do have a destiny, and we do have times and seasons of our lives. There is a book that I've written that's free of charge. All you have to do is go to letspray America.com, letspray America.com, and you can get that book. It's called God Assignments, How to Start, How to Finish, and it's free of charge. You can download it or read it right there. But I believe that you will be blessed as you read that book. So I pray, Father God, for people in Jesus' name out there that don't understand their assignments, they don't quite understand what they're to be doing in life, I pray for them right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that they will find direction, they will find guidance, and that you will help them in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to pray today for those of you that are going through a storm in life, and there's things happening in your life that you don't quite understand why they're happening, and I just want to pray for you today. Father, I pray for every person listening to BPN Radio today that's going through a storm. They're going through difficult days, and they may be saying, I never dreamed this could happen to me. I don't quite understand. I can't comprehend why this is taking place, why my marriage is falling apart, why my health is falling apart, why that I'm going through this stage in my life. I don't quite understand how this death in my family has occurred and all of these things that are happening. And Father, I just pray for this people group. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those today that have a terminal illness and they're at death's door and they say, I just never dreamed this could happen to me. I never dreamed that my life would be shortened by this disease or this infirmity. I pray for them today. I speak healing over them. But most of all, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. Those that are going through difficult times, difficult situations, fearful and angry and anxious, I pray for them right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Here's a good song by Casting Crowns, and we're putting together here on BPN Radio, Music and Prayer. Casting Crowns, I'm going to praise you in this storm. We'll be back to visit with our special guest right after this song.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have with us here on BPN Radio today, Pastor Darren Frank from Church of Living Waters in Rosenberg, Texas. And Darren has been my friend for many years. I've known him for a long time, since he was a teenager. And his mom and dad, I ministered for them starting years ago at a church that they founded, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas. Pastor Darren Frank, it's good to have you on the broadcast today.
Yeah, thank you, Dale. Excited to be a part of what God is doing through this radio broadcast.
Well, it's a delight to have you on, and you know, you've shared your testimony at several different places where I've been, and I just want we're going to talk about forgiveness today, and I want you to pray for people that are having a very difficult time forgiving, and you have one of the most amazing testimonies concerning forgiveness that I have ever heard in my entire life and ministry. So would you just share a little bit about your story today, what happened to you, your family, and how you walked through this pathway of forgiveness? And then I want you to pray for people today that may be challenged with unforgiveness, saying, you know, you don't know what they did to me, you don't know how they hurt me, abused me, misused me, and I'm just having a difficult time forgiving. But I believe that people are going to be blessed by your testimony today. So share your story, Darren, and then we're going to pray.
Amen. Well, I know that unforgiveness across the board is almost in every person, I believe. And God wants to set us free. He wants us to make a decision to forgive. In 2009, I lost my brother to a tragedy, a death. And my mom and my family was just overwhelmed with the loss of my brother at the age of 42. And, you know, we came together as a family. There was a lot of things that went on, and, you know, just believed and started trusting God. And just, you know, a few weeks after losing my brother, my sister came to me and she said, you know, life is so short. I want to do everything that I can to advance the kingdom of God. I want to be the person that God created me to be. And she looked at me and she said, would you help me move away from my husband? This was in the month of October. And she asked me, on the day after Christmas, would you help me move to mom and dad's house? I just need a few weeks away from him to get some things aligned and to get some stuff straightened out. And I just said, you know, yes, I'll help you. Is there anything that I can do now? And she said, no, I just want to make sure that I can do all that God's called me to do. And so nothing else came about that. Just a few weeks before the Christmas time in 2009, she called me and she asked me that if anything would ever happen to her, would I take care of her children? And she said, now I want you to listen to me. Would you love my kids if something happens to me? And I told her at that time that we're family, that if anything would ever happen to her or children, that I would take care of everything, that we're family, and that's what family does. So we had a Christmas time, 2009, my mom, my dad, my sister, our family. It was a mighty time. And the day after Christmas, she called me and she said, okay, would you help me? And I went over to her home, and everything that she owned was in black trash bags. And she asked me to take everything that she had to my mom's house, which was about a mile and a half down the street. I knew at that time that she was really nervous, that she was wanting to hurry up. She has four children, three girls and one boy, that were very nervous that were there. And so we took all of the stuff and we moved her to my mom's house. Because the kids were a little bit nervous, I took the kids to get ice cream. We went to a movie. And when I came back to the house with the kids, I asked her, do you want me to stay here with you? Do you want me to just spend the night here? And she said, no, everything's going to be fine. I trust God. Just went home, and about midnight that night, I get a call from the Rosenberg Police Department asking me to come to my father and mother's house. I pull up at the scene, and There's yellow tape all around the home. And there's a policeman there that wants me to come to a car. And I'm just asking him what happened, sir, what's going on, what happened. And he just asked me to come to where my sister's children were. And on the way, I stopped at an ambulance and just wanting to know what's going on. I saw my father sitting in the ambulance, and he had blood all over his face and all over his clothes. And I looked up at him, and I knew that he was shaking, and I just said, "Dad, what happened?" And he looked at me, and I knew by looking at his eyes that my mom was dead. And he looked up, and he said three words that changed my life. And it's three words that I continue to meditate on. He said, "I forgive James." And these three words were the only words he was able to say. I found out that James broke into the home. James is my sister's husband for 14 years. He was a prison guard in the state of Texas. And he walked up the stairs, and he woke up the four kids. And in front of the kids, he killed my sister. My little niece runs out, and she gets my mother, and my mom hands her the phone, and she calls 911. And my mom meets James at the top of the stairs, and James, with a knife, really just, there's a brutality attack on my mom. And my niece is standing there the whole time this is happening, and she's already dialed 911, and it's completely on the records of 911, of my mom speaking into James, saying, "James, Jesus loves you. He's the only one for you, James. James, he's the only answer for you." And she was doing this while she was being attacked. And her last words were, "Jesus loves you." And you never heard anything else. All you hear is screaming. All you hear are the kids. So I walk over to the kids where they are in the back of a police car, of knowing that my sister and my mom were dead, that James ran out the front door, stabbed my father in the back of his head, and now he's gone. The kids had blood from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. The faces of the kids were just, I can't even explain it really in words, how they looked and how afraid that they were.
Wow. But I know this is it's a very difficult time. Every time you share this story, I know it's very difficult, Darren, but I know that so many people need to hear your story. In fact, I've even given you prophetic words that one day there will be a movie made of what happened, because so many people are walking in unforgiveness. And so, I mean, how did you come to a place where you could forgive James? I know he was on the run for a long time, and you took your sister's kids in, and they lived in your home, and you became a father to them. I know it was a very difficult time, especially while James was on the run. Can you describe a little bit about that?
Yes, they actually found James on March 6th, 2010, in North Carolina. We went on America's Most Wanted. John Walsh came to our family and said that he would like to help us, and that he knows that they'll find James if we air on his show. And just a few weeks after the airing, it was on another show, Regis and Kelly, and there was a phone call. James was sitting in a mall in North Carolina. The police were able to go and just apprehend him. As far as the forgiveness, you know, I was able to hear my father say, "I forgive James." And those words just were so powerful to me. I just didn't know, though, how I was going to forgive him. You know, if someone takes your car, someone burns down your home, someone does stuff like that, I mean, it's so difficult. But those things are replaceable. And one day you'll get another car. One day you'll have another home. But if someone takes a family member from you, a mother, a sister, I know that there'll be a day that I'll see them again. foot on this earth, I will never have them again, never be able to touch them, never be able to talk to them. I am very thankful that I've had them for the time that I did, but I really felt there was so much more in relationship that God wanted, and it just felt like that was just ripped away from me. When I saw James the first time in the courtroom, we walked into the courtroom. We were sitting there when they bring James in. He looks at my family, and he laughs at us so loud that they have to remove him from the courtroom and cancel the court that day. And I was being tormented, Del.
Yeah.
I can't even express to you, but I know that there will be people that will be listening to this broadcast that can understand the torment from the enemy, where he's got your ear and he's screaming in it and there's nothing you can do. It feels like you're just hopeless and helpless, and he controls every thought, every moment. And I found myself just in bed and couldn't get up. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't wake up when I did go to sleep. I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
And I was being tormented by this laugh, by what happened. And, you know, just a few months into that, my wife came to me and she said, "You know, Darren, you're not the only one in this. We need your help. Your dad needs you. The kids need you. I need you. You need to get up." And I can't tell you what that did to me. Even though I knew I needed to get up, I needed to do things, I found myself I couldn't do it. I was just saying, "God, just take me." The torment was so much, I didn't even want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to hear what my dad said. "I forgive James." And I knew, because the book of Matthew talks about the king that wanted the debt paid, and the man that owed him so much, there was no way ever he was going to be able to collect the money that he ever was going to be able to pay him. And he fell down at the king's honor, and he begged him for forgiveness, begged him to pardon him. And the king released that debt that he owed. And then the man went right out, and with his hands, he grabbed someone that owed him a way less amount of money, and he demanded that he paid him. And the word continues to say that when the king heard this, that the king put that man in prison, and he allowed the tormentors to torment him until he was able to pay the debt. And I have to tell you that if I would not have been able to forgive James, that I would not be alive today, that I was in so much torment. I was being tormented by the enemy. And forgiveness, and this is what the broadcast needs to hear, the people, forgiveness is not something that I just can do. Forgiveness is a decision. And I didn't feel like forgiving him. I didn't want to forgive him. I had all the right not to, but I had to make a decision that I had to get the tormentors to stop.
Yeah.
And so I made a decision to forgive him. My dad was able to do it on the very day that this happened.
Wow.
I forgive James. I would say that daily. I didn't feel like doing it, but I knew that I had to get up out of the bed. I had to get up and move on. And for the first 7 days, I forgive James. James does not owe me anything. He never has to apologize to me. I forgive him for what he did. I release him into the hands of God. He owes me nothing. And I said that for another 7 days. And on the 14th day, I felt that I was getting confident in that decision. And then I moved back, it seemed like, to day one again. But I was constant. I have to forgive him. And the reason that I had to forgive him, number one, I was being tormented. But the second reason is that I wanted to release him off of my hook and put him on God's hook.
There you go.
My dad told me that James took the lives of two women of God.
Yeah.
And that God will deal with this, and that we put our trust in him. And I was not able to release him until I started that decision to forgive. Yeah. And for a whole year, I made a decision to forgive James. I woke up every morning with that decision, and I would say it all day long until I could feel some kind of release daily, just to wake up the next morning again to say it again.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, Peter said to Jesus, "How often shall I forgive?" And he said, "Seven times." Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." I know that you've walked through this, Darren, and because of your not only willingness to forgive, but your determination to forgive, what has happened to you? I know we just have three or four more minutes here, but what has happened to you? What's happened to the kids? And what's happened to the church that you pastor and the school?
Yes. Well, the church and the people around the church definitely were following me in forgiveness. If I forgave, they were following me. My mom was a spiritual mother to the ministry. We have seen a mighty revival in our ministry, in our school, in our church. And it all started on making a decision to forgive. We had to forgive James as a church body. But as we forgave him, there were many people in many situations and circumstances that we had to forgive. We had to make a decision to forgive. And we started seeing, and I started feeling and knowing this personally, that I was being released. There was hope that came into my life, and hope is Jesus. And because of that hope, there was some healing that started, and healing's Jesus. And when I started moving into healing, there was freedom in my life. And I started just speaking that out to the people, and the people started really receiving great freedom because of healing, and healing because of decision to forgive. And we saw so many people be set free, and are set free even today. You know, I've said this, and there's so many miracles about this story. My children today are actually living back in the same room that my sister was killed in, and that's only supernatural. I don't want to go into all the circumstances of how we got back there, but we were completely led by God to move back into the home that I lost my brother, my mother, and my sister in. And in that home, there's God's presence. And that's the home that my father's in, and it's amazing what God is doing. So the church has just continued just to walk in freedom. It's moved out into our city now. Tonight, my oldest niece, Carissa, is taking a worship team into her school, Brazos High School, and has a speaker, and the entire school's going to be there, a high school, and they're going to hear the gospel. And she is so excited about what God is doing in her life. What happened in this story, Dale, is that felt like that we were stripped with every desire, every want that we ever had here in this earth, that so much was taken away from us, that the only desire that I have, that my family has, is to be and to do what God's called us to do. And that's taken away a lot of other things. And our purpose and our destiny is every morning to wake up and to be what God's called us to be. And there's a boldness that's flowing in our body, that's flowing in me, because of the decision to forgive and how God has met us in forgiveness, that it's only by His grace and by His love that we're able to press forward in. So wow. We see God moving. I'm also working in the prison system. I know that there'll be a day that I'll look James face to face. I believe I don't want anybody to go to hell. It doesn't matter what someone does to me.
Right.
I wouldn't want that on anybody in this world.
Yeah.
And I want to look at him for his children's sake and for his sake. I believe that I'm going to speak what my mother spoke, the very last words that he heard her say. I'm going to start with those same words, James, Jesus loves you. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but until that happens, I'm doing that in the prisons, Carol Vance unit, some units, Darrington unit. And I'm going to continue to be faithful until God says this is the time. And when He says that, I'm going. Wow. And only can go through God's strength.
Yeah.
I know that I'm one of the weakest men around. But because I know that I'm weak, I'm very strong.
Yeah.
Because I lean on His strength.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that He's here with me.
Wow. What an amazing testimony, Darren. And I know there's people listening that are struggling with forgiveness. I know if you can forgive and your sister's children can forgive and y'all can even move back into the same home where the tragedy occurred, I know that other people can forgive. And I want you to say a prayer for these people right now that may be struggling with unforgiveness.
Yes. Yes. One of the things I'm going to pray here, forgiveness is a decision. Again, you're not going to feel like doing it because of what's happened to you. You can stand and say it's not fair. And let me tell you, it wasn't fair. But until we're able to forgive, we will be tormented. And so let's pray. Father, we call out on your name. You're the one that heals.
Yes.
You're the one that sets us free.
Yeah.
You're the one that forgives. And Father, because you freely forgave me for everything that I've done, everything I'm doing, everything I will do, Father, I feel obligated to forgive others. And Father, I pray, God, for everyone listening right now. Father, I know that there are some traumatic things that happen in our world today. And there are things that are going to continue to happen. Father, I pray great freedom to be over your people because decision after decision after decision to forgive. Father, I pray, God, to even the minor things to whatever's happened, Father, that we can rise up with your help and we can stand and we can say, I forgive James. Father, I was not able to do that by myself. Father, I needed to lean on your strength. And you say, Father, that when we're weak, that you're strong. You say, Father, that when we need you, that you would be there, that you're our refuge, that you're our strength. And Father, I call on your name right now. You know your sons. You know your daughters. You know what's happened to them. You know the situation. Father, I call on you that when that person rises up, and they speak out that decision that the heavens are going to open up and flood these people today, Father. Father, I pray, God, that you release, Father, these things that have happened to so many people that hearing our voices today. And Father, that we're able to release these people, the people that have done us wrong, whatever's happened. Father, even release ourselves from wrong, things that we have done, and give it to you, Father. Release it unto you. Release it into your hands. Father, I pray, God, for a miracle to happen even now over your people. Father, I pray that we can stand and that we can walk, God, day in and day out. And Father, that we can know, that we would know, Father, that we have nothing against a brother, that and brothers have nothing against us, that we walk in fellowship and communion.
Yes.
And believing, Father, for
yes.
you to come.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we need your help. This is only done in you and through you. So, Father, I pray now, God, that you flood the rooms of the people right where they are, God, and that they would rise up with this decision and proclaim
yes,
it
Lord.
And speak it out
yes,
and
Lord.
Stand
yes.
until they release it in Jesus' name. Father, let it happen now.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. God. Thank you, Lord. And I set myself in agreement with you, Darren. Thank you so very, very much for sharing your testimony. And, I do know your schedule is very limited, but, you know, if anybody would like to have you to come to a church or to a group and share your testimony, pray for people. I know that you have limited time, but I know they would be tremendously blessed. How can people know about your church? Do you have a website or get in contact with you?
Yes.
Just
the website is www.colw.info. And our church phone number is 281-342-6336. I am willing to come. One of the things about the testimony is that we have been asked by many, many people to put it in a book, to do these things. But God has spoken to me very clearly that the testimony is not over yet, that we will see a mighty revival.
Yes.
And we are standing and believing on that. But he has told me that to only go where it would advance his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we have been to churches and we have seen so many people released of unforgiveness and so many people set free. So I am willing to go if the timing works out, and it will only be to advance his kingdom.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I would highly recommend that. I highly endorse you, Darren, and I've been honored that you have shared your testimony and some of the services that I've led, and always people are broken, touched, and ministered to. And so I bless you and the church, your family, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and that's near Houston, Church of Living Waters, Rosenberg, Texas, and you can contact Darren. And thank you so much for being on the program today, and I know that people have been touched and blessed by your ministry. Thank you, Darren.
God bless you,
okay.
Bill.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, it's a privilege to have on with us today, Darren Frank, talking about forgiveness, an amazing story. One of the most amazing stories, if not the most amazing story on forgiveness that I've ever heard. And so I just know that you have the opportunity to walk in love and forgiveness, you and I. And I know that forgiveness can be the most difficult thing in life, being willing to forgive, let go, and move on. But if Darren Frank can do it, I forgive you, James. If he can do it, I know that you and I can do it also. You know, sometimes it seems like that you're doing well, and then you wake up one morning and all of that hurt and a conversation or whatever happened comes roaring back. You know, Peter said to Jesus, "How often shall I forgive? Seven times." Or it's what Peter was saying, there's got to be a limit to all of this. And Jesus said, no, there's no limit. It may be 70 times 7, 490 times a year, 490 times a month, maybe 490 times a day. But you must be willing to forgive. In other words, Jesus was saying there is no limits to forgiveness. No limits on the way that you forgive people, the times that you forgive people. And there's no limits on the number of times that I forgive you. And so you must understand that God does not put limitations on forgiveness. What if I get hurt again? What if they do hurt me again? Maybe they will, but you will definitely be hurt in life. But you say, well, if there is forgiveness is unlimited, then I can just go ahead and sin seven times a day. God will forgive me if I ask forgiveness. Is that true? Yes, he will. But there are consequences. You must understand the hardening of your heart until it no longer bothers you. You know, if your arteries get hardened, get blocked, hardening of the arteries or blockage of the arteries, it's going to affect your heart condition until eventually you're gonna experience a physical death. And I believe that's what happens when you continuously sin and say, well, I'm going to sin and God will forgive me, not a problem. You must understand that your conscience becomes hardened. It's like hardening of the arteries. Your conscience becomes so hardened to the place where you say, well, that used to bother me, but doesn't bother me at all anymore. That's the hardening of your spiritual arteries, your conscience. And then consequently, death sets in, because as you sin, you will no longer want to meet privately with God. You will lose that intimacy with God. Just like if you are unfaithful to your wife, that intimacy with your wife will eventually go. You'll eventually lose it. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. The Bible said they walked with God in the cool of the day. And then when they disobeyed God, when sin entered into their lives, it affected their relationship. And instead of going to meet with God, they went and hid themselves. And, of course, the Lord spoke out, "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? What are you doing?" And so even though Adam, of course, was forgiven, his sin affected his intimacy with his Creator. Your sin will affect your intimacy, sir, with your wife. And wives, your sin will affect, your unfaithfulness will affect your intimacy with your husband. Intimacy is so very, very important. So it's not a matter of saying, will I be forgiven? Yes, you will be forgiven. But the consequences of your unfaithfulness, the consequences of your sins, the consequences are deafening. They're deafening because it will destroy the intimacy. You will no longer want to go into that private place with God and kneel before Him. It will affect it. And you will be wanting to look the other way. You'll still have your prayer, but it will not be an intimacy time. You will not go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies. You don't want to destroy your intimacy with your husband or your wife. And you don't want to destroy your intimacy with your God. And so Jesus talks a lot about forgiveness after he said, this is the way you pray. In Matthew chapter 6, given the six faith declarations there of prayer. Then he began to talk again about forgiveness, but he goes back and has an addendum. He says, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we block the line. We plug up the line when we will not forgive. And so just as Darren Frank was willing to forgive James, we must be willing to forgive those that have hurt us, offended us, done us wrong. And so, Lord, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that we will walk in love and forgiveness, calling the person that has hurt us, offended us, misused us, abused us, done us wrong. We will call their name in prayer, and we will declare that we call their name. We will declare that we will walk in love and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. So thankful, so grateful. And I know that many of you today are struggling in life, struggling with the things that you've gone through. And we've been praying for you today. But I know that the Lord is with you because He's promised not to leave you, forsake you. You're not alone. Here is Carrie Jobe. She's going to sing this beautiful song, I'm Not Alone. And I know that you're going to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then we'll be back to conclude. And so I declare that you're not alone today. You will never leave me.
breaking through. The dark of night will not overtake me. I am pressing into you. Lord, you fight my every battle, and I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me.
Father, we're so thankful today that we're not alone. And I pray for those people today that feel all alone today. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you minister to them and work in their lives today. In the name of Jesus. We appreciate you being a part of BPN Radio. Trust that you have enjoyed being with us today as we pray together for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. And we're going to be back tomorrow at this same time, actually anytime, here on BPN Radio. If you'd like to make a contribution to BPN Radio, you can go to www.bpnradio.com. There's a donate button at the bottom of the page. If you have a prayer request, you can double-click on the prayer request, and we'll be back tomorrow at this same time. You have a wonderful day. Dale Gentry saying, God bless you. Thanks for praying with me here on this Wednesday.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.